690.
I think some of our older listeners may remember this from the Newt Rockne story back in the day, the Hollywood production with Pat O'Brien. How about that? Movie trivia. No, I don't expect you to know that. Definitely don't expect you to know that. I know Pierre knows this, though. Welcome back. It's hour number three. Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. It is the Fightin' Irish song. How about that? With Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo, we have Mighty Max here, our intern today, helping us out now on Thursdays. And Pierre McGuire standing by at Notre Dame.
What though the odds be great or small, old Notre Dame will win over all. While her loyal sons are marching onward to victory.
Pierre McGuire brought to you by Montreal's messiest sandwich, Dagwood's Chili Dag, with pepperoni, cheese, peppers, onions. Dagwood's famous chili and sauce comes with a bib.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How you doing?
Mitch, I'm doing excellent. I just finished watching Notre Dame practice and visiting with their coaching staff. And now I'm watching the University of Maine Black Bears start their practice after leaving Maine, Orono, Maine, at 5:30 this morning. They got here finally.
Notre Dame.
Welcome to college hockey.
Notre Dame and Maine tomorrow night on the NBC Sports Network. I guess they got a weekend actually there, but you won't be there on... Which game are you doing?
Anson Carter will take over for me. I'm working Boston, Detroit Sunday afternoon, and then I go right from there to St. Louis for St. Louis, Dallas. I got a crazy schedule, and then right to New York for New York and Chicago. But, you know, it's interesting. You were talking about, obviously, Newt Rockne. A famous American president played in that movie.
Ronald Reagan.
Yes, he was George Gipp.
Right.
Win one for the Gipper.
That's right. Yeah, Ronald Reagan, who also played in his career, Grover Cleveland Alexander, the great Hall of Fame pitcher who had a significant drinking problem for St. Louis. I believe the name of the movie was called The Winning Team, and Ronald Reagan played Grover Alexander. Pete Alexander was his nickname. Yeah.
Nice.
And he also did Bedtime for Bonzo, but that's a whole other...
Yes, he did.
That's a whole other story, working with a monkey. Pierre, how is I wanted to ask you about one of the kids on Notre Dame. Jake Evans is a Habs draft choice.
Yeah. A project right now, hard worker. You know, again, we'll see. They've had a tremendous year, by the way. They've been right from the start of the year, a top 10 team in the United States, Notre Dame. They're coming off a sweep to the University of Vermont, where Vermont probably deserved a better fate. Notre Dame's got a really good goaltender in Cal Peterson. But again, you know, the biggest thing is with Jake, it's just about time more than anything else. He's a young player. He's just a sophomore, a second-year player. Probably their best pure prospect is Anders Bjork, whose cousin plays in the NHL, Eric Condra, with Tampa Bay. Anders Bjork played for Team USA this year at the World Junior. Was a big part of their bronze medal winning team.
In South Bend, Indiana today, Pittsburgh last night.
Here's Tanner Glass. Save made by Fleury. Hayes to the puck. He scores! Kevin Hayes, just after the Rangers' power play expired, gives the Rangers a 1-0 lead. His first goal in 13 games.
Brilliant composure. You see Danny Pie, he's doing his best to scramble to get out of the crease so there's no goaltender interference or potential for a coach's challenge.
Here and not giving Penguins much.
Now a 2-on-1 for the Rangers. Down the right side with a shot. Score! Dominic Moore gives the Rangers a 2-0 lead.
Eddie, this is a laser beam. This is a goal scorer's goal. Absolutely ripped by Dominic Moore.
It was 3-0 final, and all of a sudden the Rangers are hot.
Well, the Rangers are hot, and the big reason why is Henrik Lundqvist. That game wasn't a 3-0 game. Henrik Lundqvist in the first period allowed the Rangers to get their feet underneath them and get stabilized in the game. Because quite frankly, Pittsburgh deserved a better fate. Their aggressive forecheck game forced so many turnovers. Lundqvist had to really be sharp early on, and he was. And that carried over for the rest of the game. That game should have been a lot tighter than what the scoreboard read. And the big reason why it wasn't is because of Lundqvist.
So they didn't miss. They didn't miss Ryan McDonough, obviously, last night. Any word on how much longer they might be without him?
They did not say a word about it. They're going back home and playing Los Angeles tomorrow. The Kings play the Islanders tonight, so they've got that little tri-state area dip in New York. Talking about the Los Angeles Kings, Mitch, they got it done without Ryan McDonough, and they also got it done without Rick Nash. But what the Rick Nash injury is doing, it's opening up a spot for JT Miller. And JT Miller is playing extremely well. Derek Brassard and he have some really good chemistry. Dominic Moore is being forced to play more of a defensive role with center ice play. I think that's helped him stabilize a lot of their stuff going on, and it's taken some pressure off of Derek Stepan. So, yeah, you talk about the injuries, Mitch, but I think those injuries have created opportunities for the team to figure out little details about themselves that are going to help them as they go forward here.
Michel Therrien, after practice today before leaving for Buffalo, Habs and Sabres tomorrow night in Buffalo.
Yeah, we give those guys opportunity to produce offensively, like play, put them on power play, and put those guys on offensive zone face-off as most as we can. And but they want to produce. The thing they need to focus on is probably better decision with the puck, better support. Those are the things they need to focus on to get success.
Well, asked specifically about David Desharnais and Max Pacioretty. Pacioretty, one goal in 9 games. Desharnais, no points in 7 games. They continue to give him power play time. He has no power play points in 33 games. He's never been, we've talked about this, Desharnais has never been a power play producer, as strange as it may seem. How much longer do they go here? And they're giving them Sven Andrighetto tomorrow to see if he could spark something on the right side. But how much longer can they keep going here?
I understand your question, so I just have to ask you one question. Where else can they go? I think they have to go with this as long as they have to, because they have no, I don't know what other options they have. I just don't know what other option they have. Now, potentially it's in the trade market. You heard me say the other day, Brendan Gallagher, and I think politely was saying it, the answer's in our room. I don't know about that. I think for part of it, the answer might be outside of their room. And that's why I think this is going to have to be closely monitored. You would expect that they're going to have a good road trip, but you don't know that. And if it starts out poorly tomorrow in Buffalo, then it becomes more of a battle for them. I'm expecting them to carry over from what they've been able to accomplish here the last 3 games, but I don't know that for sure, and neither do you.
The fact that they went through a stretch of 7 wins over 29 games, does that or should that at least eliminate the possibility of them taking anybody lightly at the bottom of the standings?
I hope they don't take anybody lightly. They need to play aggressive. They need to play supercharged. They need Plekanec to continue to build off what he's done, Eller to build off what he's done, PK to keep playing the way he's playing. They can't look past anybody, Rod. To say that, for them to do that would be a huge mistake, I think.
Let me go back to what you said. And as you know, Mark Bergevin was in Newfoundland watching his team for a couple of back-to-back games on the weekend. If they can't get Desharnais going, again, they're at this point, they're crossing their fingers and they're going, geez, this guy does have a track record of producing some offense. It's got to happen. Gallo believes it's going to happen, right? Gallo believes that Desharnais is going to get going. But if it doesn't, do they not go dip into St. John's? And I don't know who it might be, but somebody, when you're talking about 33 games with no points on the power play as a centerman in the NHL, that's anybody can do better than that.
I agree. But again, might pose the question, where else are they going to turn? You're in a salary cap league. that's where it becomes a little bit of an equation to figure out, and not an easy one to figure out. So I have to think at some point he will get going. I don't know that, though. I wish I could give you a firm answer. When I think I know something I'm pretty confident on, I'm going to tell you I'm just not confident he's going to be able to shake out of this. Because this is where the league really starts to pick up. And once you get past the trade deadline, you're basically in full playoff mode.
So let's say hypothetically he doesn't pull out of it. Which move would you make first? Eller to play with Pacioretty and Desharnais to the third line, or Desharnais to the wing with Galchenyuk moving back to center?
Desharnais to the wing, Galchenyuk to center. Desharnais is not a depth player. That's... no matter what, I mean, he wasn't signed to be a depth player. He was signed to be a point getter, and they need him to get points. And I wouldn't be afraid to put him on the wing at all, especially with a distributor and a creator like Galchenyuk.
Je sens bien. Je pense que je suis prêt à jouer, mais encore, on doit voir comment mon corps répond demain. Alors, c'est encore une décision de coach. S'il dit que je suis prêt à jouer, c'est à lui de faire cette décision-là demain.
Paul Byron flashing some impressive
French. That was awesome.
French.
Way to go, Paul.
Yeah, and
that was so, well done.
It looks like he's going to get back in. They have, you know, what he showed here in Montreal is amazing speed and really added a threat when they were killing penalties. And any little bit of spark offensively is what they could use right now.
Well, especially with Brendan Flynn or Brian Flynn out of the lineup.
Right.
That's what you have to look at. And, you know, I didn't know it was as severe as you reported yesterday. Found out more about it today. So that's going to be a bit of a little hiccup for him because he's obviously a really good player. And that's the one thing I would look to with Paul is he's versatile. He can give them the spark that you've alluded to correctly. So, and you got to think he's excited to get back. So I think that's a positive sign for the team rather than a negative.
You alluded to it a moment ago, Pierre, and I get that 2 points in late October are just as valuable as 2 points in late February, but have we reached a part of the schedule where coaches are going to try and lock it down in the last 5 minutes, even more so if they're tied and see that extra point on the way?
Oh, for sure. For sure. When the New York Rangers got their second goal of the game off the stick of Dominic Moore last night against the Pittsburgh Penguins, it was full surgical lockdown in the neutral zone. Until that point, there was a lot of flow in the game, and then all of a sudden the Rangers, a lot like the Canadians last year, just strangled the speed elements of the Pittsburgh Penguins game and didn't allow it to get engaged. Earlier in the game, the speed elements of Pittsburgh's game were fully engaged, Rod, so your point's extremely well taken just based on the evidence that I saw last night.
Pierre, yesterday we talked about the Kings taking care of the Bruins in Boston 9-2. Didn't touch on the fact that Christian Ehrhoff's been placed on waivers by Los Angeles.
Right.
Do you see anybody biting, and what do you think Dean Lombardi might be prepping for?
I might be wrong in this, but I think he's right about $1 million per year on this deal. I think it's just a one-year deal, if I remember correctly, just off the top of my head. I can't think that people will be intimidated by the contract. I think people would be more concerned about the amount of injuries he's had over the last couple of years, and his game has clearly dissipated. And I can tell you this, I like the player. I like the person more. He's a really good guy, Mitch. I'm telling you, really, really good guy. But the injury situation has really set him back a ton. I can't see him being in a position where he's going to be able to be a long-time useful asset to a team that thinks they have a chance to compete.
For teams that see themselves as buyers, are you pretty much grouped into two categories? One group of teams that's going to try and make a push to get into the playoffs, and another group of teams that's going to make a move because they really think that they are going to win the Stanley Cup or at least get to the Stanley Cup final?
Well, I think that's exactly where we're getting to right now. And a lot of these teams that think they're in the playoff hunt, they're going to find out in the next 7 to 10 days that legitimately they're not. And there are other teams that are going to find out, oh, yeah, we're right in the race. So it's going to be very, very interesting to watch. But what you just said is bang on, Rod. They're teams that are getting close to being ready to sell. They just need to have a little bit more secure knowledge that they will not make the playoffs this year. Then you're going to start to see things start to speed up, especially after what we saw with Toronto and Ottawa. That's one team, Toronto, making a deal because they know it's not happening for them this year. And it's another team, Ottawa, who's saying, we got to do something if we're going to make it. We got to do something, and that's what they chose to do.
Pierre, yesterday we talked about the challenge, the Joel Quenneville losing the goal, walking away post-game. It was not a case of goalie interference. Anybody who saw it could not believe that call was made on the ice. Today, Quenneville said that the NHL admitted to him that a mistake was made. And, of course, Gary Bettman, the commissioner, happens to be in Chicago because there's a league event going on and all of that. And Gary Bettman said he is extraordinary. He always uses, he overemphasizes when he's on the defensive. He's extraordinarily pleased the way the challenge system is working this year.
I think the challenge, actually, I'm going to back him up on this.
Oh, come
on. I won't use, no, Mitch, the challenge system's working well. you got to admit, more times than not, the coaches have been right when they've challenged. The challenge system has worked well. It's maybe because we have to finite or make the rule of what is goalie interference and what isn't. But you got to admit, they get it right on the offsides. They've been getting it right. How many games? I mean, you got to be honest, because the system has worked, but the truth is that they have to redefine what the criteria is for goalie interference. That's what that play was. And I think that's why the league apologized to Joel Quenneville. Because I personally, and I know I said this to you,
yeah.
If that's going to be the standard for the playoffs, they're going to have a really tough playoff. It's going to be nasty. But I think the challenge, you don't like the challenge system?
No, I like the concept of the challenge system, but I think what's happened here, I mean, this is the National Hockey League, for goodness sake. There's obviously a flaw. Do something, give the referee something other than an iPad to look at. And the length of time it takes. How could two NHL officials decide after looking at replay after replay that was goalie interference?
That part you'd have to ask them. I'm not in a position to answer for them. But I would say this. I think the challenge system has worked well. I think you need a better system than the little iPad that they have. I think the league's aware of that. I think there will be an adjustment. You got to admit, this was a courageous decision by the league. You know how many years I pushed for this.
Yes,
and so I think it was wise that they've done it, and I think it's working well. But there has to still be continued adjustment to it.
Yeah, so why wait? Why wait for the continued adjustment? Why wait?
I think you got to go with what you have this year. But what the Board of Governors is going to have to do with the Rules Committee, and I can tell you they've already started looking at it, is what constitutes goaltender interference? That's got to be something they look at. And in terms of coaches' challenge, I'd like two more things at it. Friendly fire high six that leads to double minors, which we almost had one last night in our game. And the other thing is pucks over the glass. We got to have that being a coach's challenge availability, because that could cost the team, as it did the Rangers once against the Washington Capitals. That didn't cost them a playoff game. But I think the challenge system's worked well. I really believe that it has. We just have to fine-tune the goalie interference part.
Toronto at Edmonton tonight. Mike Babcock, a little while ago, was asked about his... what was it? What's the actual term that was used?
His lines being scrambled.
Scrambled. Oh, yeah. Here he is.
Yeah, I don't think they're scrambled. I think they're beautiful. It's just how you look at it, right? Like, new opportunity. Opportunity to get some momentum together. No, I mean, you do what you do. I never thought Holly would be our first-line center tonight, but that's just the way it goes.
On Peter Holland being a first-line center tonight. It's beautiful. Yeah, he's got a beautiful lineup.
He knows what he signed up for. He knows exactly what he signed up for. This is a major overhaul and rebuild. And they started it going all the way back to last summer when they moved Phil Kessel. I mean, this is a major overhaul, and it's going to take some time.
I think
they're on the right path.
I think you know him a lot better than I do, but I think it took a while for it to hit him. As successful as he is and as competitive as he is, he thought he might have had a chance to bring this team close to a playoff position, and it finally set in that is not happening, and he seems more relaxed.
Absolutely, and he is more relaxed. And we haven't spoken on the phone in a while, but we have spoken via text, and yeah, I would sense that he's far more relaxed. The answer is yes, but he's still not going to quit on his team. That's just the way he is. He's always going to compete to the bitter end. Here's one other thing. I don't know how much you guys are talking about it, and I don't believe Toronto's tanking it. I really do not believe that they are. But I would tell you this. The top three players in this summer's draft are home runs. They're not a little bit good. These guys are major home runs. Anybody picking in the top three is getting instantaneous star power. And you see the effect that a player like Panarin has in Chicago. You see the effect of a Dylan Larkin in Detroit. You see what Connor McDavid's doing in Edmonton. You look at Jack Eichel and see what he's doing. Look at what Noah Hanifin's doing down in Carolina. And just Mitch, these three guys potentially that will be at the top, Jarvi, Lane, and Austin Matthews, these are major league home run hitters, and I think a lot of teams that are near the bottom of the pack are looking at those guys right now.
And let me take the opportunity to point out that Austin Matthews will be a very special guest Sunday morning on Center Ice with Robin Flynn right here on TSN 690. If we could hear a little snippet.
it's the NHL. There's so many, great players. It's such a, highly skilled league nowadays. So, just to play, on any team and hopefully, have a career and be an impact player in this league would just be, a dream come true. And, you look at each team, there's just so many, talented players. And, it'd really just be an honor to play on any one of them. It's the NHL. There's no, second class team. Every team, it's first class and every team wants to win. So just to be in that, category, it's pretty special.
I'd like to hear that. And
he's legit. This guy is Ronnie Francis with a little bit more speed. I think I shared it with you last year. I went off to USA Hockey for a couple days, broke down tape with their coaches, watched them practice, addressed the team. Austin Matthews was one of the guys in the room. Matthew Tkachuk was another one of the guys in the room. Then I went and watched them practice. These guys are big-time players. They're not a little bit good, Mitch. They're really, really good. And Austin Matthews is a franchise player.
Austin Matthews again, Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, center ice. Full conversation with Robin Flynn here on TSN 690. Enjoy the rest of your day and evening in South Bend, Indiana. Pierre, we'll talk to you again prior to the Habs and Sabres tomorrow.
Did you get the pictures I sent you?
Yes, thank you. He sent me pictures of the Golden Dome.
And Touchdown Jesus.
Who's the most famous citizen out of South Bend, Indiana? Like you mentioned Ann Arbor when we were going to talk to Jim Harbaugh. Is there anything in South Bend above and beyond Notre Dame?
No.
Yeah, that's got to be, that's what it is, right? It's Notre Dame.
Notre Dame is, the College of St. Mary, that's the all-girls school. That's near here. And Parisi's Italian restaurant. That's awesome.
So now you know where Pierre's eating tonight.
That's exactly where Pierre's going.
Talk to you tomorrow. Thank you.
You got to take that off.
Hockey insider Pierre McGuire, brought to you by the Old Orchard Pub. Five locations.